a terrible fault. Young and old alike. When we do something wrong, we never want to admit it, and we always try to find somebody else except us whose fault it is, although we did it. We hit somebody, it is the fault of the guy who got hit. We steal from someone, it's the fault of the guy who got stolen. We talk and gossip about someone, it's the fault of the guy whom we gossiped about. I can go on and on and on. In the school, we are lazy, we don't work, we get bad grades. It's the teacher's fault, it is not ours. And often enough, when things get really worse and people start complaining how awful we are, then they send us to a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist tells us, well, it's the fault of your parents. It's the fault of the police, it's the fault of the law, it's the fault of the society, but never, never it is my fault. But sometimes if we are religious, we also say that the shaitan made me do it. The devil made me do it. While Allah Ta'ala clearly says, whenever something good which happens to you, it is from me. Whenever something bad happens to you, it is clearly because of you yourself. Last week I talked about the shaitan, about the devil. I will continue talking about it, so we better stop putting our faults on the poor shaitan. After the shaitan disobeyed Allah Ta'ala when he asked him to prostrate in front of our father Adam, he refused to do it while all the angels did it. Allah Ta'ala chased him from his mercy. But then he asked Allah Ta'ala to permit him till the end of time. To test. Us. Allah's servant. And Allah Ta'ala permitted him to do so. And his first action was that he came to our father Adam, and as it is his habit, he lied to him and he said, Ya Adam, shall I lead you to a tree of immortality? and say, I lead you to riches which will never end and which will never get old and which will never decay and which will never disappear. Now Allah Ta'ala says, Hu al-Baqi, which is written over there, it is only Allah Ta'ala is immortal. There is no tree of immortality. There is no created being who is going to be immortal. There is no possession which Allah Ta'ala which will give us, which will not get old and decay, disappear, or taken away. So he is promising him things which are not true. Now, in the ayat, I translated as he lied to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. The word in Arabic is called waswasa. Hu evd birabbin nas, melekin nas, ilahin nas, min sharril waswasil nas. Here is again the word waswasa. Now it is very interesting if you listen to me, that if we could somehow avoid waswasa in our lives, we could possibly avoid all the insinuations of the shaitan to fool us and to make us do wrong. What is waswasa? Waswasa is a daydream or dream. When Martin Luther King, whom I respect very much, in his famous speech said, I have a dream. Well, here we see, after years, that dream did not come true. The psychologists, I think, they call it compensation. You are ugly, you dream, you imagine, you are beautiful. You are poor, you dream that you are rich. You are miserable, you dream that you are happy. You are hungry, you dream that you are full. You are old, you dream that you are young, you are sick, you dream that you are healthy. In short, waswasa is to come to believe in one's imagination that one is better than one is. And when one dreams and believes and thinks that one is better than one is, one is more beautiful, younger, stronger, wiser, richer, then one deserves better than what one has. So that first of the seven greater sins, that of arrogance, is really the fruit of waswasa. And it is the opposite of knowing oneself and knowing the things around oneself. In short, it is not knowing reality. Now that's why I prayed a few minutes ago to Allah to wake us up from the sleep of heedlessness. Because it is in the state of heedlessness that one is open to waswasa. One is open to the influence of the shaitan. How to stop daydreaming? How to stop to opt for imagination rather than accepting reality? There is a saying which says that the worst of reality is better than the best of imagination. Because when you do see reality, even if you are weak and miserable, and even if you lack knowledge, that you have got a chance to defend yourself that which is bad in reality. But when you are in a state of comfort, that you are great and everything is fine, that you are a king while you are a beggar, the same reality which is real and which exists, you cannot defend yourself against it because you are sleeping. So then the first rule of defending oneself from waswasa, from daydreaming, for not seeing reality, is to become conscious, is to become heedful. We do our namaz heedlessly, and when it is done heedlessly, it is not worth anything. We fast heedlessly, it's not worth anything when it is done heedlessly. But what is worst, that one single life which we have been given to live, and during which we are tested, and we are obliged to pass that test of this short life. Otherwise, our eternal life is in danger. Do you follow me? Of course, it is very easy to say, but that is not true. I am sitting here, I am looking at you, I hear what you say, and I am not heedless, I am not sleeping, I am heedful and conscious. I see you, I hear you, I understand you, you think. If we had the time, if I would ask Enver to what I said, and if I would ask Yusuf to what I said, and if I would ask Shakir to what I said, and if I would ask to Enver how I looked, and to Yusuf how I looked, and to Shakir how I looked, I would bet my life on it that they would say totally different things. I remember I used to ask my art students to draw their mother's pictures. They drew their mother's portraits. It all looked the same. I asked them to describe their mothers, which is the closest one to one, no? And they described some woman, which could be any woman. It's a fact which we refuse to accept. And as long as we refuse to accept it, that we will never know what reality is. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of Allah, the perfect man which Allah Ta'ala has sent here as a sample so that we look at him and see what perfection is. You know what's the prayer which he used to do most often? O Lord, show me the real reality. Now, in addition to that, in this room, I hope, we do our prayers 5 times a day. We do pay our zakat, hopefully with not cheating too much. And we do fast during the Ramadan, hopefully not just being hungry. And many of us, we even did the Hajj. And in addition to that, we all really sincerely try to behave like a Muslim, to be kind and gentle and forgiving, and not to hate but to love, and not to take but to give. And also, therefore, we really think very often that our future is safe. We are a Muslim. We do as much as we can, as much as we know, what a Muslim is supposed to do. So Allah does promise. When you listen to him, what he tells you to do, if you do it, he will put you in his paradise. Well, Shaitan al-Layin did one sin, and one sin alone. He disobeyed Allah Ta'ala just once, not twice. I am sure all of us, even in our daily lives, in one day, we sin more than once. And he was an angel. He was reduced to be a jinn. And he was kicked from Allah's mercy, from the Jannah where he was. So did our father Adam. Got fooled by the shaitan and did one sin and got kicked out from the Jannah. But the interesting thing is what I told you once before, and which is one of the things which really wrenches my heart, that when Allah Ta'ala kicked Shaitan al-Ayn from his mercy, Jibril alayhi salam, he cried. Allah said, "Ya Jibril, why are you crying? Are you sad that I am kicking Iblis out of my mercy?" "Oh no, my Lord," said he, "I'm not crying because you are kicking Jibril out of your mercy. I am crying for myself," said he. "I am crying with the fear that it could happen to me too." That is the angel, Archangel Gabriel, who brought Allah's messages to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest of Allah's angels. He was in doubt that it may happen to him. So, ibadallah, do not be sure of your future. Do not be sure of your end. Try to wake up from the sleep of heedlessness and try to see reality. Salaamu alaikum. All of us, we experience waswasa, and especially watch yourself when you are sitting on the potty in the bathroom. I'm not joking. I may not be the only one. Just today, you know, when I was sitting on the potty, then my mind started wandering in all sorts of incredible, crazy, stupid things. And I smiled and caught myself, that's really the proper place to come and visit me. Today, really, I'm telling you, I usually don't tell you those things about myself, but I mean, because we have been talking about this, you know, and there it is, you know, sitting on the potty, and the mind wonders, you're in the city potty, you know, what is this strange thought, you know, which comes to your mind? Doesn't happen sitting on the armchair, you know, it doesn't happen. But that's the appropriate place for him to come and visit you. He takes this. No doubt about it. Well, so much for waswasa, what should we talk about?
Baba, did you hear anything about Malala?
Ne dedi?
Malala hakkında bir şey duydunuz mu dedi.
Ne hakkında?
Malala is the name of the girl
yeah.
who got the Nobel Prize. Mm-hmm. Bu Taliban'ın kafasından vurup da Nobel ödülü alan kızın başkası hakkında bir şey duydunuz.
They even made a movie of her, it seems. You know, any wonderful thing which happens in our world could immediately be used and abused and turned into something ugly. I mean, you know, here is the poor little girl, you know, who really get almost died, you know, by the zealots who call themselves Muslims and who don't want the woman to get educated. And then immediately whole horde of capitalist agents, you know, closed in on her. And I mean, the Vatican, the Oslo, the Hollywood, you know, everybody. I have this experience from the art. Art is really an essential and extremely important human activity. From the cave ages on, you know, the finest, you know, human activity somehow which the human beings are capable of. But as soon as you start making, you know, meaningful images, you know, which means something, immediately the gallery owners, the critiques, the this and that, they come and they immediately distort it and make it into something ugly. It becomes a stock exchange item. The price, they pay you all this money and this and that, then forget about that. So it's like that. So that's what they did with the poor girl.
But she forgave the guy who shot him.
Dedi, kendisine vuran adamı affetti dedi.
But it's the proper thing to do. I mean, there's nothing wrong with her. I mean, indeed, you know, she was not. But I mean, what they made out of her is she's no longer significant. Because anybody, you know, who thinks of her as significant doesn't give a shit, you know. Really, it's a matter of some advancing other thoughts and other philosophies, making money, you know, and this and that. Rezil ettiler yavrucağı yani. Ya şimdi zaten kız da bozuldu. Kızgıntı yürüdü diye. Yok ortada yani. O masum kız yok. It's so nice to make something beautiful from something which is ugly. And it is such a horrible thing to make from something beautiful something ugly. It is not easy to be a human being. Because what has been precisely put in us initially, all the material, all the energy, all the time, and some animals live long, some animals live short, and we are told in the Bible and the Quran that there was one time that people lived much longer, and we know recently our parents, our grandparents, they died in their 60s and 70s, you know. And now we are again living up to 80s and 90s and 100s. The life, it is said, given by the number of breaths which we take, has been destined for us. And it has got a certain purpose. There are seasons in our life. There is the spring, there is the summer, there is the autumn, there is the winter. And as there are things to do in spring and summer and autumn and winter, that we are supposed also to do things, you know, when in spring and in summer and in autumn and in winter. But I have no doubt in my mind that we have been given the time, we have been given the energy in accordance with the time, we have been given all the possibilities, all the knowledge and everything to make something of ourselves as Allah Ta'ala has meant us to be. But like throwing pearls to the pigs, you know, we throw away our youth, we throw away our middle age, we throw away our old age, and we throw away all these extremely valuable things in fun and games instead of being a human being. For to be a Muslim is simply a school to be a human being. So was the Christianity and Judaism and Buddhism and Aristotelianism and say it and Zoroastrianism. You know? I mean, you know, we say we call them pagans and this and that. No. They all were, and they all more or less failed. And we are now failing too. But we haven't failed yet. And I don't know what is the destiny of Islam. When you look around, you become very pessimistic. Not only what one reads in the newspapers and sees in the TV, but even face to face, you know, when I face Muslims. But then I think that it has happened so many times in our history. We were talking with my wife today when there were no bombs and machine guns, just simply with swords and spears and arrows, we killed each other as much as we kill each other today. Hundreds and thousands. And like somebody asked me the other day, and I said that I keep my optimism. I feel that Islam is an old fruit tree. And the older the tree, the sweeter is the fruit. And every once in a while, these catastrophes happen. And up to now, it has been like pruning the fruit tree of Islam. Afterwards, it gave more fruits and sweeter fruits. Till we are uprooted, I have hope. And don't forget that it is the last of Allah's religion, that there is no other religion which is going to come after that. That although Muslims think, Islam hasn't changed not one dot in 1500 years. And Allah says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last of the seal of the prophets. No other prophet is going to come. Thus, it will be a disaster. And Islam, if Islam is uprooted too. It's our last hope. Talking about heedlessness, I think I am putting to sleep. To sleep. What was it? There is Gulari's famous Jewish proverb. It is better to be in the and think about the temple rather than being in the temple and thinking about the whorehouse, right? That exactly is what's with the Baba. I like that proverb very much. Mother gets angry at me when I use bad words, but Effendi used to use very often very bad words, I remember. We certainly have the best tea in America, I think.
The Sufi touch, Baba.
Hı, neydi? Ehlinizi bir şey dedi.
Sufi parmağa dokununca çaylar güzelleşiyor dedi.
Allah Allah. Kim o diplomat?
Faruki.
Faruki is the diplomat. It's good to be a diplomat. Everybody likes, you know, to be lied to.
I like when you say that when you go to dream and you sleep, that you're very rich. And when you get up in the morning, you have no money. So you don't need it.
Neymiş?
uykuya dalıp kendini zengin görüp sabah uyanıp kendini fakir gördüğün zaman, bu hakikati gördüğün zaman paraya ihtiyacın olmadığını anlıyorsun dedi.
Yani dedi ki, what I think Shakir in his wisdom is trying to say, that when even after imagining you are rich, you somehow are heedful and you find out that you are poor, that it's okay. In short, reality is okay. Truth is truth and reality is reality. It's a fact. And fact is unchangeable. And when there is something unchangeable, you have to adapt to it. Winter is cold. You have to put a coat on. Summer is hot. You have to take off your coat. Simple. Huh? Not much effort. Huh? You cannot run around when it is snowing, nude when you are snowing, and cannot wear your heavy coat when it's 100 degrees outside. Herhalde yatsı okundu.
Evet.
Kızım burada mı?
Burada.
Damat da burada.
Damat da burada. Damat Ali Paşa.
Damat ne yapıyor?
Damat Ali Paşa.
Evet. Elhamdülillah.
Damat çok çalışıyor.
Hadi.
İki tane ders alıyor. Hı? İki tane ders alıyor. Hı. Kolombiya'dan çalışırken.
Çalışsınlar. Gel. It's very interesting when inshallah you all will come to my age when you will not be able to sleep as well in the evenings nor to eat when you have to eat nor move when you have to move. You will find that, you see, because beforehand, when you had the energy and the means and the time and this and that, you have a cockiness that you think that you can do things. And that's why most of the time you are more open to vaswasa than but when you come too old, vaswasa also has an inclination of the future, you know, that I will do this in the future and I will be that in the future. But when you come to my age, I mean, the other day they asked me, well, what's your project, you know, for the future? I said, to die, you know, you know, to prepare to die, you know. And so you will see that actually that philosophy should be really the philosophy of the young one too. The future is whatever is going to be. It would be foolish thinking that you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So I don't think about tomorrow. Maybe I'll be alive, maybe I'll wake up, maybe I will not wake up. You know? No, it's very important not to fool oneself, that we fool ourselves so often. That there are some people who when one is young, you go to a test or to an interview, and someone says, "Oh, I did well." Think that you have not done well, so that if you have perchance done well, you say that will be time to celebrate. But if you think that you have done well, and then they kick you out, then that's an occasion to cry. Well, if you think you haven't done well, so they say you are no good. I knew I was no good anyhow. So, no? But if you think that you have done not well, and then all of a sudden it is well, and then it's time to celebrate. And I remember my son was like that. That every test he went, "How did you do, son?" "Oh, Dad, I think it's very bad." Then he would get an A. Hey! Very good philosophy. Think of yourself low. I think it's a hadith. Think of yourself low and you will be put high.
Yes. Baba, can you explain a little bit about taqwa?
Bize biraz takvayı anlatır mısınız?
Hazreti Ömer radıyallahu anh, in his time when he was a caliph, there was a Jewish rabbi who knew a lot about Islam. And one day, both to test the rabbi and at the same time to profit from his wisdom and knowledge, he asked the same question to the rabbi. Said, "Ya Rabbi, do you know what taqwa is?" He said, "Ya Umar, when you were a very young child in the desert, do you run around bare feet?" He said, "Of course, yeah." And he said, "But the desert is full of prickles and needles and thorns and all sorts of things, which could get into your feet. And how did you do?" Omar said, "Well, I was very careful. Well, I put my foot." He said, "Yeah, Omar, that's what taqwa is." I don't know any better description of taqwa than what the Jewish rabbi said to Hazrat Umar.
Ali'nin bir sorusu var. Ali sorusu.
Evet.
Selam baba. When we talk about Islam as representing the completion of the three monotheistic traditions, are we ever supposed to think about the time in the history of humanity and its significance at it arriving at that particular time, as opposed to an earlier time or later time? We know that Arab society was fragmented, but with relation to the rest of humanity, is there significance we should think about as to why Islam was revealed at that time in history?
Dini tamamlamak için geldim diyor Peygamber Efendimiz. İslam evet. Dini bütün dinleri tamamladı. Geldiği zaman İslamiyet'in bize öğretildiği zamanın insanlık tarihinde bir önemi var mı? Yani dinlerin tamamlanması için o zamanın bir özelliği var mı?
As you know perfectly well that 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th century in the known Christian world, that period is called the Dark Ages. Not only the spirituality, Christianity, whatever little knowledge was left to them, little, was kept very jealously by the monks in the monasteries. They wouldn't want to diffuse them. This is the time of plague and hunger and disasters and chaos, you know, in the world. Because the world was the, you know, Christian world. Judaism was in the state not much different from what it is today. It's always on the fringes and trying to survive, you know, under any circumstances. And the world is always has been, for some reason, you know, its enemy. Arabia itself is even worse, and people are burying their daughters alive, you know, because they want to have sons. He comes to this kind of a world, and the miracle of Islam is historically in a very, very short period, and a matter of, you know, 200-300 years. You know, that one of the highest civilizations, you know, all the world is established in the Near East, you know. And that is when, of course, starts the Crusades. It really has nothing to do with religion. It's to go and get the goodies of the Muslims. That's what the historical situation is. And then, the Christian scholars admitted that the revival of the Western world, the so-called Renaissance, is after this initial contact with the through the Crusaders. The Hospitallers and all these knights, that they disappear, they don't return back. Everybody thinks that they are dead. Then all of a sudden they come healthy and wealthy, all well dressed, you know, extremely well educated, you know, and then they build the Gothic cathedrals. And for instance, during the Middle Ages, there is a total distaste towards Virgin Mary and women in general. They put those virginity belts on the women when they go to the Crusades, kind of a thing, you know, and the women are really extremely badly treated, and they learn the sanctity and the importance of Virgin Mary from the Muslims. I mean, I'm not inventing that. I read that from Western sources. You know, and that is when they started building this churches called, Notre Dame, etc., etc. Yeah? Because, I mean, in Islam, Virgin Mary is a prophetess. I mean, Jibreel alayhi salam came to talk to her, and more than talking to her, placed the spirit of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam in his womb. I mean, what an intimate relationship, you know, between Jibreel alayhi salam and Virgin Mary. And so, through this, because the Muslims are all conversant with all the Greek philosophy and Greek sciences and everything else in Baghdad, no? And all of a sudden, at the time of Harun al-Rashid, that's the time of Charlemagne, you know, the end of ninth century, there comes this sort of peaceful relationship too. So they give each other gifts and this and that. And the concept of Renaissance is definitely the Greco-Roman ideas didn't come. Even the writing is not Greek or Latin, it's translation from Arabic. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they don't deny that. So it's miraculous. I mean, it's.
They say that Christ is coming to tell the people that he was not God.
Is it?
Hazreti İsa'nın geri geleceğini söylüyorlar.
Biz de inanıyoruz ona. In fact, his tomb is in Medine Münevvere next to Resulullah sallallahu aleyhi ve sellem. We believe that he is going to come back and fight against evil people and So Jesus is very important and very dear to the Muslims, and the Christians do not understand that. And so is Moses alayhi salam. I mean,
in the Quran they say that the Quran was given to the Jews and they would carry it like a donkey, like a load, and they never read it.
Is it?
Kur'an-ı Kerim aslında Musevilere indi ama bir eşeğin kitabı taşıdığı
ben,
gibi.
Ben duymadım.
Ama bir
Aydın hear and say.
It's in the Quran.
Şakir onu
I haven't heard or seen or anything of the sort. No, it is mentioned in the Tevrat, the coming of Resulullah. It is mentioned in the Bible, the coming of Rasulullah, but that the Quran was revealed to the Jews, that's the first time I'm hearing it, and I think it is sacrilegious to say that. Yeah. It was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadi kalkıp namazımızı kılalım.
Başlayalım. Thank you.